From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of a pre-recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with Ryszard Legutko, a prominent Polish and European statesman and distinguished philosopher, and the author of The Demon in Democracy: Totalitarian Temptations in Free Societies. Let's now join Hank Hanegraaff and Professor Legutko in their conversation.
I think the problem that modern societies nowadays have are two. The first of all is what to do with this wealth and with this free time that we have. And the answer is entertainment, right? This is something that really characterizes the modern world. Never ever in the history of mankind there have been society which devoted so much resources and time and energy to enjoy themselves. The second problem that the modern Western society has is that the society hates itself. Despite all the good things it has produced, the society hates itself. It considers itself to be unjust, unfair, full of discrimination, racism, and very many bad things that has to be eliminated. So on the one hand, when you look at the modern society, on the one hand, you can see people spending millions of hours in the internet, playing games, you know, enjoying themselves. And on the other hand, you have people politically mobilized who want people who are permeated by the woke ideology, who are tracking down racism in the United States because they say that this is the most racist society in the world and a war has to be waged to fight racism. Everything has to be changed in this society because it's been contaminated by racism. And we have similar things in Europe, perhaps not racism, but xenophobia, right, or sexism. This society is so full of sins that you have to create a powerful bureaucracy to fight those things, to fight those sins. So if you combine these two things together, you can see that the modern person is kind of childish, infantile, having his mind changed by being exposed to video games and all these, you know, fun things. And on the other hand, he's constrained, sometimes even enslaved by the huge political and ideological bureaucracy, which controls his thinking, controls his language, and even his games, which are also politically correct. You just cannot enjoy yourself. You have to enjoy yourself in a politically correct way.
In the United States of America, we have an organization called Black Lives Matter, and you mentioned racism. Black Lives Matter is an organization that overtly is calling for the disruption of the nuclear family. So in America, we have major forces that are denying the legitimacy of traditional family. We have the democratization of the family, where young girls can have abortions without parental consent, where, as you alluded to earlier in the conversation, there's a decoupling between sex and gender. Parents are being stripped of their rights, and those rights are now being given to government agencies. So the rights have gone from parents to children or from parents to governmental agencies. Talk a bit, Ryszard, about how significant the devolution of the American family is, or the family and liberal democracies in general is. This seems to be one of the macro issues that we're facing, because we have herds of people now saying that the nuclear family has to be disrupted. That's one of the first things that has to go in the modernization project.
Well, yes, you're right. I mean, family is the enemy. And family has been the enemy from the very beginning of modern revolutionary ideology, since early modernity, probably. Every attempt to make a thorough reform of the society, to build a new system from scratch, right? To build a brave new world, if I may use this phrase again, had to start with the destruction of family. Family was the major obstacle. If you have the family, you cannot go very far with your revolution and with your restructuring of the society. People will not accept your ideological message, because people have been formed within the family by the parents, their grandparents, and there is this cultural transmission through the family. So family is the first thing to go. And that was what the French Revolution did in France at the end of the 18th century. That was what the Bolsheviks did. That was what the German National Socialists were doing. That's what the Communists were doing. And that is what the Liberal Democrats have been doing now. Of course, they are using the different means. But family is the enemy. And they have found some ingenious, I would say, methods to disrupt family. This gender nonsense, right, is one. Gender was, still is, right, a notion, a concept from grammar. It's a grammatical concept. They are in our languages, there are three genders. There's masculine and feminine, and there is neuter, right? We all have been taught about it at some time at school. But we have two sexes, male and female. And this gender nonsense became popular first, I think, in the literature departments, where scholars, a professor, were discussing works of literature, and they saw that men and women are playing various roles, and they called it genders. But these were men and women who were playing these roles. They were not genders, they were men and women. But now, if you came up with this idea that they are not just men and women, but they are, I don't know, 40 or 50 genders, not only does it destroy the family, because the family is based on two sexes, not on genders, but also you destroy the entire cultural tradition. The entire cultural tradition from the very beginning was based on men and women, right, of two sexes. So in order for your revolution to succeed, you have to reject or reformulate or falsify, if you will, the whole educational system. And so you cannot leave young people, you cannot leave children at home. They have to be taken from home, and they, from the very early days, they have to be indoctrinated. They have to be told that they are, I don't know, 40 genders, right, or 50. That's a massive assault on the human nature. I mean, it's a rape of human nature. It's not some innocent, ingenious experiment. It's an assault of human nature, and you can see the results.
We're talking to Richard Legutko. He is a prominent European statesman. He is a distinguished philosopher. As I mentioned at the outset of the podcast today, he served as a Polish Minister of Education, Secretary of State, Deputy Speaker of the Senate, and he is currently a member of the European Parliament, as well as a member of the Foreign Affairs Committee. His book, The Demon in Democracy, available to those who support the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can get your copy for your support on the web at equip.org. We're talking about some of the most significant issues that could be discussed, period, in liberal democracies. And I think I want to go back to something, Professor Legutko, and that is the word crisis that threatens to undo Western civilization, if it hasn't already been undone.
Don't go away. We'll be right back and rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Professor Richard Legutko. We live in troubling times. If you'd like to know how we got here and where we're heading, The Demon in Democracy is a must-read. Professor Richard Legutko lived and suffered under communism for decades, eventually fighting with the Polish anti-communist movement to abolish it. Now, having lived multiple decades under a liberal democracy, however, he has discovered that these two political systems have a lot more in common than one might think. They both stem from the same historical roots in early modernity and accept similar presuppositions about history, society, religion, politics, culture, and human nature. To receive your copy of The Demon in Democracy, Totalitarian Temptations in Free Societies, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Let's rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and Professor Richard Legutko as they continue their conversation.
We're talking about some of the most significant issues that could be discussed in liberal democracies. And I think I want to go back to something, Professor Legutko, and that is the word crisis that threatens to undo Western civilization, if it hasn't already been undone. And that is liberal democracy in itself, because when many people think of liberal democracy, they don't think about it in the sense that you're communicating what liberal democracy has become. They're thinking about it in an older sense, maybe during the Reagan Revolution or times back when we thought of liberal as connoting liberties or democracy, meaning that we have an opportunity to elect people through free voting, through legitimate elections, and so forth. You're not talking about that when you're talking about liberal democracy. You're talking about something else. You're talking about this myth of progress, this utopianism, this new meaning that has been poured into the phrase liberal democracy.
Yes, of course, you're right. But let me say that the changes in human nature, the changes in the way people think and speak as a result of this pressure influences also the political structure and the political mechanisms. Normally, we were thinking of democracy as a system where the government is elected through popular vote, right? That is periodic election, right? And that's the view of democracy, right? Who gets the majority then rules for a couple of years and there are new elections and so on and so on. And this seems to be very simple and common sense. But mind you, this is beginning to change too, because there are groups and there are political parties which are believed not eligible to govern because they are politically incorrect and they are disqualified. So even if they win the elections, they are not considered to be legitimate. And you can do anything you want to prevent them from governing. I can see it in Poland. I can see it in Europe. I do not want to talk about the United States, but I think in the United States there is something like that too, that for 4 years you had the president who was elected according to the rules that hold in the United States. And yet this president, by very many people, was not considered to be the president from the political party, which I do not like. But he was considered to be the president that shouldn't be the president, that's not worthy to be the president. And I say we have the same in Europe too. That's what in my book I call mainstream politics. Liberal democracy nowadays is more and more mainstream politics. If you are a part of the mainstream, you are a legitimate political actor. And you are not a part of the mainstream, that it's legitimate to disqualify you, to prevent you from ruling using any means that are available. If you are not a part of the mainstream, you are considered to be either a fascist or an idiot, a fool, or an insane person. The additional problem to it is that the mainstream is more and more homogeneous. That is, the mainstream is not divided as it used to be. The political spectrum used to be divided between the political left and the political right. Now, as a result, I think, of the 1968 revolution, the political life in the Western world has shifted tremendously to the left. and the right has been cut off. So you can see that everybody who represents the conservative side is excluded from the mainstream. It's immediately you are considered to be a fascist, a Hitlerite, or an idiot, right? Or an insane person. So the political system has changed. Yes, we have the elections, but the elections and the institutions that exist serve a different purpose. They serve to perpetuate the rule of the mainstream and to delegitimize all dissenters. And that's not something what initially democracy was about.
I want to go back to what I was talking about a little earlier when I mentioned the word crisis that threatens to undo Western civilization, where you have words, but there are new meanings that are being smuggled into those words. You mentioned a number of them in your book, dignity. We just talked about marriage, abortion. So let's take those three, for example. Dignity, no longer about moral merit, but about claims and entitlements, or marriage, no longer defined in terms of permanence, gender complementarity, procreation, and the like, but in terms of same-sex marriage. And people will say that same-sex marriage means freedom, and if you don't believe that, you're a fool, you're a hater, and you should be excluded from the conversation. Abortion. Abortion today means freedom, and therefore doctors are being forced to support this freedom, and priests and pastors who do not support this alleged freedom are silenced. So we have this word crisis. Words are used that seem honorable, dignity, marriage, abortion, but new meanings poured into those words. And I think that's one of the things that threatens to undo Western civilization, the word crisis itself.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. I mean, what is language for? Language is for communication. You use language to describe the world, to reveal the truth about the world, and not to mystify it, not to conceal the world. And nowadays, the language is more and more used to that purpose. And again, let me say, these operations on the language, the manipulation of the language, has always been practiced in the dictatorial and totalitarian regimes. I can give you the example from ancient history, but also the French Revolution. They changed the language. So the first thing they did, apart from an attack on family, an attack on the church, on religion, and on the language, and Bolsheviks, and of course, German National Socialism. And now we have a similar operation. If you read George Orwell's 1984, or also Aldous Huxley, Brave New World, or all these anti-utopias or dystopias, you could see that the very shrewd writers, they were very aware of it, that if you want to change people's natures, their behavior, you have to change the language they use. Dignity. Dignity was a word, is an old word, like going back to Roman times. And it was the concept that made you reach for worthy goals. I mean, it's, as you said yourself, dignity is about merit. And nowadays, dignity is not about merit. You have dignity by the mere fact that you were born, and whatever you do, even if you do most undignified things, you do not use your dignity, right? You may be a pornographer and you still have your dignity. So this word doesn't really serve the purpose. I mean, it's used in a completely different set of norms. And there are all sorts of words that have changed the meaning, especially the academics have done their work in this respect. And I don't know what's in the academic world. I've been in the academia for several decades and I still didn't figure out what's so in the academic mind that it invites regulations and invites despotism. I mean, nowadays they make their life miserable, because you have to be very cautious with the word that you use. If you do not conform to a politically correct style, you will not have your article published. And you will not have your article published in the prestigious magazines, and you may be severely criticized. You may even lose your job if you do not use the correct word. So, yes, the language has been contaminated, unfortunately.
We'll have to stop there for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Join us again next time when we will continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Professor Richard Legutko. Our daily commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you the book, The Demon in Democracy, Totalitarian Temptations in Free Societies by Richard Legutko. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.